This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
Do you think pokies should be banned from pubs? Why is it that in some parts of the country, there are pokies everywhere, in other parts, they're nowhere to be seen? And why is Australia so hooked on these machines? G'day, it's Dave Marchese. Coming up on Hack, we're getting into this and we're going to hear from those who've been trapped in pokey addiction.
To the point where I just had to stop going to the pub. I can't even go there for a meal because I definitely will play the pokies.
Yeah, we know this affects a lot of people. And if this is you or someone you know, I really would love to hear your thoughts because we know young Australians are among the most at risk of gambling addiction, specifically the pokies. Do you struggle about being around so many machines when you're out? Message in 0439 757 555. We're also going to have the latest on the Kyle Sandilands drama first, though.
Hack.
It's time we woke up. Western civilization are under siege.
On Triple J.
Look, it's pretty normal for politicians to be giving speeches in Canberra. It happens every day. But all eyes were on the National Press Club today, where a political leader was addressing that room for the first time. One Nation leader, Pauline Hanson. And there was a bit of drama. At one point, a protest interrupted things. Let's find out exactly what happened, what Senator Hanson had to say in her big address. Hack political reporter Evelyn Manfield was watching on and joins us now from Parliament House. G'day, Ev.
Hey, Dave.
As I said, this was Pauline Hanson's first time addressing the National Press Club. Why is that a big deal?
Yeah, look, the Press Club in Canberra is really considered this sort of high-stakes environment, you know, where you get leaders and politicians come, people like the Prime Minister, to make big announcements. And you also get questions from some of the country's biggest political journalists. It's also televised live on the ABC, so you're getting lots of eyeballs as well. So really giving this address for Pauline Hanson is just another signal to, I guess, the public, but also the press, that One Nation is becoming a serious political force in the country. And we're seeing that certainly reflected in opinion polls published in newspapers, but also they had success in the South Australian election recently. The Farah by-election, the New South Wales seat there, getting a member elected to the lower house here in Canberra. And also she's been saying that she thinks she's got what it takes to become Prime Minister. So when you sort of flag that, you do open yourself up to more scrutiny, and then came her appearance and the questions today.
Yeah, I want to find out a bit more about the substance of the speech, but before we get into that, can you tell us about this protest? Because at one point, a banner was released behind Senator Hanson as she was speaking. What happened there?
Yeah, look, some of my colleagues who've been around this building for decades are like, we can never remember something like that happening at the press club. So she was about sort of 15 minutes into her speech, and then behind her, this banner unfurls and it says, I opposed a pay rise for workers while I took a $100,000 pay rise for myself. Now, everyone was sort of looking around going, what's going on here? The people who manage the press club, they got up on the stage and tore it down. They were really unhappy. They said they wanted to investigate how this happened. And we've just actually got some breaking news in response to that. We've just had a statement from the National Press Club, Dave. They said that they've referred this footage to the Australian Federal Police. They're suspecting that two people allegedly entered the club yesterday without permission, and then there was a further person who seemed to operate this remote, which is what led to the banner coming down. So look, it's really interesting. The progressive movement GetUp has actually claimed to be behind this, and that is David Shiraz, who people might sort of remember as Brittany Higgins' partner. But there's more to go in this, certainly with a police investigation seeming to be afoot now.
Yeah, definitely more headlines out of that one, I'm sure. I mean, on to Pauline Hanson's address. She did talk through her priorities, her policy ideas. One thing she focused on was multiculturalism. What did she have to say?
She said she wants one culture, Judeo-Christians, so she wants to actually get rid of multiculturalism, which is a pretty strong thing to say and certainly will upset a lot of people around the country, because a lot of Australians that we talk to often are really proud of the multiculturalism that we do have here. But take a listen to what she told the press club.
At the centre of this crisis is the utterly flawed policy of multiculturalism. We cannot be a multicultural society. We are a multiracial society, but we must be monocultural.
This is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm speaking with Evelyn Manfield, Hack's political reporter. We're talking about One Nation leader Pauline Hanson's speech to the National Press Club. And, you know, we just heard Senator Hanson there saying that she is against multiculturalism. Evelyn, she also focused heavily on the media, advice for the media, warnings for the media. She spoke specifically about the ABC and SBS. What did she say?
Yeah, she did. She accused the media really of bias. But in terms of the SBS, she said, well, that would be done if I got into government. She says there's no need for the SBS. She also talked about seriously winding back the ABC. She reckons that regional and rural parts of the organisation could still exist where there's not sort of other media for people to access. But she says the cities in Australia are just saturated. And so she would turn it into a subscription only model. She also got pretty fiery with a journalist from The Guardian who was there. So this journalist, Sarah Martin, does a lot of reporting on One Nation and Pauline Hanson. Pauline Hanson has actually previously called her in this sort of exchange that they had at a previous press conference. She walked away and sort of muttered to herself that this journalist is a nasty bitch. In response to this question, when Sarah was asking her about her daughter's role working for the party, she gave a really strong response. Now, The Guardian has come back to us and said that they stand by their public interest journalism and the rigour of their work, and they're concerned about One Nation limiting access to press conferences with them in the future. But this is Pauline Hanson.
You've got this obsession with constantly trying to pull down myself, my party, or Mrs. Reinhart. Whatever you do, you will be banned. I'll answer you this question today, but I'm telling you now, don't come near me.
Interesting stuff, Ev, and definitely fiery at some points. Look, I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot more from Pauline Hanson in the weeks, months ahead, especially heading up to another election in a few years' time. Evelyn Manfield, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Dave.
And Hack did reach out to Senator Pauline Hanson's team this week requesting an interview. We'll keep you posted, see if that goes ahead.
Hack.
I would say that I've probably lost between like $60,000 and $100,000 over the last 12 months.
On Triple J.
Depending on where you are in Australia, pokies may or may not be something you see often. While in WA, pokies are banned anywhere outside the casino, in states like New South Wales, they're everywhere. It's thought roughly a third of Australians play the pokies at least once a year. But now there is a push to cut down on numbers. Some pubs in Sydney are starting to remove pokies altogether. In Victoria, that state is cracking down on pokie influencer content. I want to know, have you or someone you know battled a pokie addiction? And how do you feel about seeing them out when you go to the pub? Are you always doing pokies with your mates? Message in 0439757555. Shannon Schubert's been looking into it.
Every time I'd go to a pub, I'd find myself in the pokies to the point where I just had to stop going to the pub. I can't even go there for a meal because I definitely will play the pokies.
For Ben, the temptation of pokies got so bad that he seriously considered moving interstate.
I was actually contemplating moving to Western Australia because they don't actually have pokies in the pubs in Western Australia at all.
The Melbourne tradie says his gambling addiction lost him tens of thousands of dollars. Every payday, he used to go straight to the local pub, put $100 in the pokies.
Driving past the sign and thinking, oh, let's stop in and chuck $100 in, and then $100 will turn into $500 and sometimes turn into $2,000. This was happening every payday for like a good 12 months.
Pokies are a massive part of pubs and clubs across much of Australia, apart from WA, where they've been banned from pubs since the 80s. And Australians lose almost $13 billion on poker machines each year.
Try and go to the pub for a meal, think that it's going to be okay because I'm past this, and then end up losing $2,000.
The number of adults gambling and the harm it causes has increased too. And when it comes to young people, they're nearly twice as likely to be at high risk of gambling harm.
We see it play out in domestic and family violence. We see it play out in suicidal ideation, homelessness, mortgage and rental stress. There's not one demographic, not one postcode in our state that is not touched by this scourge.
In New South Wales, there's 87,000 pokies. And Reverend Stu Cameron points to recent data that found pokie players there have lost more than $2 billion in the last 3 months. That's more than $26 million a day.
Fairfield LGA, the losses per person will be this year around $4,000.
Nationally, the total amount lost to gambling a couple of years ago increased to $31 billion. But some new moves are being made in New South Wales and Victoria to limit the impact of pokies.
Day four of putting $50 in the pokies to see if I can win.
In Victoria, the regulator is cracking down on gambling influencers' content, which Commission CEO Susie Neilan says is illegal.
Promotion and advertising of poker machines is prohibited. So posting content on poker machines can be constituted as illegal gambling advertising in Victoria.
Research shows young people who follow gambling influencers are watching content like live streams of people playing the pokies, and they're watching it 2 to 3 times a week. Half of them say it makes them more likely to gamble.
And it's really alarming to us because they're not showing the true harm that these poker machines can cause. They're only showing the wins.
Back in Sydney, the Inner West Mayor Darcy Byrne plans to put forward a motion at the annual Labor Party conference next month. He wants to see more than half of the poker machines removed from hospitality venues over the next 10 years.
This has gone on for far too long. The poker machine lobby have had way too much influence, and the only way that you really reduce the harm from poker machines is by reducing their prevalence in the community.
New South Wales Premier Chris Minns is facing increasing pressure on gambling reform.
The question is, what's the best way of ensuring that we can have harm minimisation in our communities whilst at the same time there's about 130,000 people that are employed in the sector?
He says he's cautious on using public funds to compensate clubs and pubs if large amounts of the machines were removed. For Ben, things have improved, and he's gambling a lot less lately after getting help from a psychologist. But the big losses took a toll on his mental health.
When that happens to me, I think to myself, man, how am I going to eat food for the next 2 weeks? How am I going to pay my bills for the next 2 weeks?
He says the lure of the local pokies is still tempting, and he thinks there should be no pokies in pubs.
Like, it wouldn't be a problem for me. I wouldn't go to the pokie that's in the casino because it's like effort to drive half an hour, where the local pokies is like 2 minutes drive away.
This is Hack on Triple J.
Shannon Schubert reporting there. And a reminder, if you or someone you know needs help, the National Gambling Helpline is always available on 1800 858 858. Hearing from so many of you now on the text line. Genevieve in Cairns saying pokies are directly related to the decline in live music in Australia. Hardly any pubs in my area can host music anymore. They convert the space to fit more pokie machines. At the very least, there should be a cap on the number of machines. Yeah, that is interesting. And it was interesting to see this week, actually, a pub in Sydney's Inner West come out and say they're actually getting rid of pokies for that very reason, to make it a bit more friendly for live music. Someone else saying, my stepdad lost so much of our family's money to pokies. I hate seeing them at venues. And another person saying, my ex had an addiction. She was stealing from her workplace and defrauded me as well. There's so many very, very sad stories related to this. I want to get a bit more analysis on the situation with Dr. Louise Francis from Curtin University. She's researched the impacts of pokies. Dr. Francis, thank you very much for joining us on Hack.
Thank you for having me.
Why are there so many pokies in some parts of Australia?
There's a lot of pokies, I think, for a number of reasons. Firstly, the New South Wales government back in 1956 decided pokies were the way to go, to introduce them into clubs. So before they went into pubs, they went into local community clubs. And it was really a policy decision about a way to get more money in for the government. And also then operators were able to benefit from that. So we've just seen over time lots of pokies, lots of losses starting in New South Wales and then spreading into other states. So mainly on the eastern states. They're not in Western Australia other than the casino, but they've become very normalised in pubs and clubs across Australia.
And New South Wales in particular, I saw a statistic that said it was responsible, or it had more than half of the losses to pokies were coming out of New South Wales. I mean, do we know exactly how much people are losing?
So total national losses for all gamblings at $31.5 billion. So that's a statistic from 23-24. That's our, you know, our current data that we have. And of that, 50% is pokie losses. And pokie losses in New South Wales, Queensland and Victoria take the lion's share of that. So in New South Wales alone, it's $8 billion that's lost to the pokies annually.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. This is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm speaking with Dr. Louise Francis from Curtin University. We're speaking about pokies and their presence in large parts of Australia. Dr. Francis, there's been a fair bit of focus on sports betting and gambling in recent years. Why do you think there's been not as much attention on pokies?
The attention on sports betting is right, and we need to see that focus. But we need to see a focus on all forms of gambling that are causing a lot of loss and a lot of harm across Australian communities. So we've always had pokies as identified as a mode of gambling that causes the greatest amount of harm, so that the risk associated with them. But what we're seeing with sports betting, while the losses aren't as high as the pokies, there's still considerable losses and they're growing really quickly. So if we look at WA, for example, there's more losses in sports betting than there are on the pokies, because we only have the pokies in the single casino in the state. So the focus on sports betting is required, but we also have to have a focus on pokies and not lose sight of the harm and how embedded they are into local communities, and we do need to make it a focus as well.
Yeah, what do you think needs to change, Dr. Louise Francis?
I think a priority for the government, and this has been touted for a long time by academics, researchers, those with lived experience, is about having a national regulator. Part of our issue is gambling is processed by the states. For the majority of gambling, there are some federal laws, but we need to have a national oversight, because this has become a real problem. It's a public health issue, the amount of harm associated with gambling. So a national regulator and also a pre-commitment system. A lot of operators say that's not the answer, but we see that that does work, and it's an opportunity for people to have a system where they're stating how much they're going to use the on gambling, and there some kind of system like that, a pre-commitment system, it is something that we see in research as something that should work and help reduce gambling harm.
Dr. Louise Francis from Curtin University, really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks so much.
And we've got a lot of messages still coming through now. Someone on the text line saying, I was shocked when moving from WA to Victoria. The moment we crossed into South Australia, I was so surprised to see pokies readily accessible. Someone else saying, pokies should be banned from pubs. I hate that so many of the pubs in Victoria are pokies centred. Going to WA is such a breath of fresh air when the pubs are devoid of the machines, that person saying. And Ryan in Victoria, gambling get stuffed down your throat everywhere you go these days. The only local is a sports club, the only place to sit down and have a beer, and you're surrounded by TVs showing sports betting. It's a joke as a young person going for a social gathering with your friends these days, that person saying. All right, we're going to move on.
This is Hack.
Carl Sanderlands has reached a settlement with his former employer after it cancelled his $100 million contract.
On Triple J.
Yeah, another big headline of the day, and it has been the number one media story in Australia this year, the Kyle and Jackie O controversy, the scandal that spilled out of a radio studio and into court. Kyle Sanderlands having a massive contract ripped up by radio juggernaut ARN after an on-air fight with his co-host Jackie Henderson. Look, there's been a development in this story because it's just been announced that Kyle's reached a settlement with ARN. So what is this deal? And could we see Kyle back on the radio at some point? Let's ask Sam Buckingham-Jones. He's a media writer for the Australian Financial Review. G'day, Sam. Thank you so much for coming on. I mean, what is this deal that Kyle's reached? Can you tell us about it?
Look, Kyle is going to get a little over $12 million in cash paid out over the next few years, which is a pretty sweet gig if he can get it. He's also going to get $1.5 million in free advertising from ARN Media, which is a heck of a lot less than he was being paid. but I guess avoids a long lawsuit and what was going to be a pretty messy battle for a while.
Yeah, how much was he hoping for?
He was hoping for something in the vicinity of $80 to $85
million. Wow.
So $12 million plus, you know, $1.5 million is, you know, a lot less. The way we're writing this, and I think it's pretty clear that this is a win for the radio stations. Like, this is a win for KISS FM and ARN Media. They have gotten out of this huge contract, and they've gotten out of it at a fraction of the cost.
What are some of the other interesting parts of the deal that we know about? You mentioned the advertising piece there. Was there any other interesting bits?
There were. I mean, these deals are never as straightforward as, like, here's a bunch of money, see you later. There's a little bit of a commercial link between ARN and Kyle going forward. As much as ARN is out there saying this severs the relationship with Kyle, they've taken a bit of a stake, or, you know, an interest in whatever he does next. So he's talking about launching his own show of some sort. They've basically said that we're going to take 20% of however much you make from that show for the next 3 years. And they've also done what is pretty common in these sorts of deals, which is a non-compete clause. So Kyle can't work for one of the other radio stations. Like, he can't go work for Triple M, Today FM, those sort of stations, the rival radio stations, until at least March next year. So, you know, there's cash, there's free advertising, and ARN gets in return no Kyle on arrival and sort of, you know, some money coming in, I guess.
Do we know anything about what he is likely to do next? You mentioned this venture that's been reported. How much do we know about that?
We know a bit, and that's because Kyle and his side are out there, you know, telling people what they're intending to do. So, you know, at its peak, the Kyle and Jackie O Show had, you know, more than 1 million people in Australia tuning in for at least a part of it each day, which is huge. It was the biggest show by audience by far. Biggest audience in terms of, like, sheer numbers. And he's betting that a portion of that audience will pay a certain amount each year to listen to him each morning. You know, this is this bold new future we're in, where, like, Kyle Stefanovic's launching his own podcast. You know, everyone's launching their own podcast. I bet half the people listening to this have friends who have their own podcast. The thing that that does is decouples him from the pressures of advertising. This whole thing was caused by Kyle saying crap and advertisers not liking that. And that made it hard for ARN to make money from Kyle. And so if he can get people to pay a subscription, he's free to say whatever he wants. And he intends to say whatever he wants.
What about Jackie? Like, is she involved in this deal? Do we know any more about what's likely to happen with her next?
Well, look, this whole thing kicked off because Kyle and Jackie O had this massive blow up on air. The implosion of their relationship, which had been going for like 25 years, is sort of the reason this whole thing kicked off. They both launched legal cases against ARN and KISS. So this settlement is just Kyle. What is still yet to play out is whatever happens with Jackie. So it's due to appear in court on Thursday morning. You know, I think the company is hoping that it can settle the, you know, something around $10 to $15 million mark that they've got with Kyle. So, you know, like, this is a blueprint for what could happen with Jackie. I guess we'll just have to see how far she's willing to push this.
Look, thank you so much for keeping us across it. Sam Buckingham-Jones from the Australian Financial Review. Appreciate your time.
Love it. Thanks for having me.
And some messages coming through. Someone says, I don't understand how or why he was paid so much. That person's opinion there. And another person saying, if Triple J dares give him a job, that's when I'm going to stop listening. Well, I haven't heard anything along those lines.
Hack.
Australia is definitely a footballing nation. Everyone is around the Socceroos.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we're less than a week into the World Cup and there's already been quite a bit of drama. Protests, shock results, on-field heroics. Have you been watching the World Cup? How are you finding it? 0439 757 555. Is this the first World Cup you've been really into? Or maybe it's a regular thing. Every time it rolls around, you can't be disturbed. Whether you're at home, whether you're at work, you're trying to make it to live sites, watch it with mates. It has felt like the whole of Australia is on the Socceroos bandwagon right now, which is understandable. So what is in store for them when they play the United States this weekend? A lot of people are going to be watching that. Well, Jackson Worthington has the latest.
really cooked when we invented the World Cup.
It's once every 4 years, like, don't put the games at the same time.
The telephone, the wheel, electricity, all perfectly fine inventions, none of which hold a candle to the World Cup.
It's day six of the World Cup and already so much has happened. Earlier today, a 38-year-old Lionel Messi turned back the clock to help Argentina defeat Algeria.
This guy's the greatest player we've seen in our whole lives. Have a look at where he's kicking him from.
The other results today were pretty straightforward, with all the favourites like France and Norway cruising to victories. But the past few days have been anything but. Yesterday, Spain was kept to a nil-all draw in their game against World Cup debutants Cabo Verde in Atlanta.
My God, it's like we won the World Cup. Because Spain did not score.
While Iran was held to a 2-2 draw against New Zealand in LA, anti-regime protesters gathered outside that game.
It doesn't matter your right or left side, this is Iranian flag. And with this flag, they kill a lot of people in Iran. And that's why we want to be their voice. We want to be their voice of the Iranian who was killed in Iran.
In-game hydration breaks have also been another big talking point this week, with breaks scheduled about 20 minutes into each half. FIFA says the breaks are to help players deal with extreme heat, but some fans and spectators have been annoyed by commercial breaks in TV coverage. Dutch captain Virgil van Dijk isn't a fan either.
Every time going to commercial is a bit, not really that I like it. And I think for the neutral watchers on TV, it's also not great. If it's really hot, obviously it will be good to put them in, but I think you have to look at it in every game separately, in my opinion.
Here in Australia, it feels like everyone is getting involved in the World Cup hype. When the Socceroos played Turkey on Sunday, thousands of people were gathered for public watch parties across the country. Even some AFL players were unhappy because they had to play while the Socceroos game was on. Here's Giants forward Jake Stringer on Channel 9 show Players.
Nah, it's a disgrace, like, honestly. It's once every 4 years, like, don't put the games at the same time.
Australia went into that game as underdogs, but came out with a 2-0 win thanks to goals from Nestori Irinkunda and Connor Metcalf. Irinkunda, who was born in a Tanzanian refugee camp before migrating to Australia, is the Socceroos' youngest ever World Cup goal scorer. Here's how his goal sounded on SBS.
Nestori, great first touch, Nestori!
Moment at Vancouver. 22-year-old goalkeeper Patrick Beach, who was a surprise addition to the team over captain Matt Ryan, was the other star of the win.
This is a dream come true. This is all you think about as a kid. This is the pinnacle of football, to play for your country on the world stage.
The Socceroos' next match is against the US at 5 a.m. Sydney time on Saturday morning. If they win, they book their place in the top 32. The US are coming into this game as favourites after a 4-1 win against Paraguay in their opening game of the tournament. Midfielder Sebastian Bearhalter reckons their new coach has helped improve their mentality.
We're American, we don't take shit.
But the Socceroos have self-belief too. Here's defender Alessandro Ciccati speaking to reporters today.
We don't take it either. We're just out there to play a game of football to win and to do our best. And yeah, it doesn't matter what he said.
Hack on Triple J.
Jackson Worthington reporting there. A lot of you on the text line now saying you're enjoying all the World Cup coverage. Someone saying loving all the stuff on SBS, living up to its other name, Soccer Bloody Soccer, SBS. Another person, Dave, I'm not watching it. That's why I'm tuned in, so that you can give me all the highlights. Well, yeah, fair enough. Jackson had the full wrap there, so if you have missed quite a bit of it, you're going to be pretty up to date. We'll probably tackle a bit of these issues and some of the controversies as well on the Shake Up this week, I imagine. Other people who are messaging in, maybe not Socceroos fans, but Matildas fans. Also getting a lot of messages still in on the Pokies story that we brought you earlier. Just the calls for Pokies to be really slashed in some parts of the country, in New South Wales. Restrictions in Victoria around influencers promoting pokies. Someone saying, I know a person who owns 5 pubs and he told me that the only way to make money out of pokie machines is to own them. Interesting. Someone else saying, pokies are deliberately designed to use addictive sound features to keep us playing. And another person saying, my nan lived in WA for a while and even with the restrictions, she almost lost her house due to her gambling addiction. I hate gambling because of it, and, you know, it's definitely a massive culture thing in Australia. That is all we've got time for now.